The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The parasha begins Vayhi b'shalach paras om, that when Paras sent out the nation v'leinochem elakim derech eres plishtim ki korefu ki omar elakim pen yinochem om b'reis em milchoma v'shova mitzroim. But Paras sent out the nation, this was on the 15th of Nisan, and that Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, took them in a roundabout way. He didn't want to take them too close to Egypt, otherwise when they'll, if they'll be confronted with war, they might return to Egypt. Then the Torah tells us Vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim, and Posukei Vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim ki vorach ha'om. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the nation has run away. Vayehofeich levav Paroi, and Paroi's heart was turned. Vavodov, and the heart of his servants, Elo'om. Vayemru mazeh sasinu ki shelachnu Yisrael me'avdeinu. What is this that we have done, that we have sent Israel away from their slave labor? Vayesor es richboi ve'samoi lokachimoi. And he harnessed his chariot and his nation he took with him. And he took 600 of his choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, each one with captains. And he strengthened, Hashem hardened the heart of Pare, the king of Egypt, and they pursued after the Israel. And Israel went out with a strong and mighty hand. And Egypt pursued after them. And they caught up with them when they were camping on the sea. All of the horses and the chariots and the armies of Pare, al pi achireis lifnei baal tzefayim. The place which was called Piachires. Well, Farai he kriv, and Farai advanced, he came close. By Yisuv and Yisrael, I say Nehem. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, Vine Mitzrayim, they say Acharehem. And Egypt was pursuing after them, by Yiru Miod, and they became very much afraid, by Yitzakuv and Yisrael al Hashem. And they cried out to Hashem. Then Hashem told Meisha, "Vato horeim." This is in Pasuk Tezayin. "Vato horeim es matko." Lift up your staff, v'neteyes yotcha layom, and take your hand, and stretch it out over the sea. Uvko ehu, and the sea will split. Vayavov v'nei Yisrael b'seich hayom v'yavosho, and the children of Israel will go through the sea on the dry land. And I will harden the heart of Egypt, and they will go after you. And I will take my honor from Paray and all of his armies, Berichbay, Foroshov, with all of his chariots and all of his captains. And Egypt will know that I am the God. And then the Torah tells us what took place. Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea, and Hashem brought an eastern wind, a strong wind the entire night, and it blew the sea to the side, and it made the sea into dry land by Boku Amoim, and all of the water split. And the children of Israel went through on the dry land, and the sea was to them a wall to the right and to the left, and Egypt followed. And then when it was coming later in the night, before the morning, Kodesh Baruch Hu made the chariots of Paray all become stuck in the mud. And then he told Moshe to again lift his hand over the sea, and all of the water will return. And the water returned and destroyed all of the armies of Paray. Then on Posuk Lamed, Posuk Choftes, V'nei Yisrael holchu v'yaboshu b'seich hayom, the children of Israel went through the dry land in the sea, V'amayim lehem chayma miminam umis ma'olam. And the waters were a wall to the right and to the left. V'yesha Hashem v'yemahu esh Yisrael miyad mitzroim. And Hashem saved on that day Yisrael from the hands of the Egyptian. V'yad Yisrael es Mitzrayim esal tzvasayon. And Hashem and Yisrael saw Egypt die on the shores of the sea. V'yad Yisrael es hayor hagdeilo asher osa Hashem b'mitzrayim. And Israel saw the strong hand which Hashem used for Egypt. V'yiru ha'om es Hashem. And the nation feared Hashem. V'yaminu b'Hashem uv'meisha avdei. And they believed, they came to believe in Hashem and in Moshe his servant. And oz yoshir Moshe uv'nei Yisrael es hashira hazeish l'Hashem. And then sang Moshe and the children of Israel this song, which they said, Hoshiru l'Hashem ki goi goosus perefei roma vayom. We shall sing to Hashem because he is above all praises. The horse and the rider he has cast into the sea. So in this parsha we have where Klal Yisrael goes out of Egypt, they come to the sea, there's the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, the destruction of Paro and his armies, and then they came to the Shira, singing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why this Shabbos is known as Shabbos Shira. There are many, many things that we can learn from here. Let's go into a few of them this evening. Firstly, the Medrash tells us Perchof Aleph, the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Bishalach. Perchof Aleph Os Hei. States Uparei Hikriv. Parei came close. Now this word is not written grammatically correct if it means Pare he kriv, Pare came close. Because the word he kriv means that he made others come close. So Rashi tells us, Pare he kriv, he made his soldiers and armies come close. See? He brought them close, he told them, he was the one who brought them all. He said, come with me. And we will go and we will destroy and we will capture and we will bring them back and we will take back the wealth. Incidentally, Klal Yisrael was going out with a tremendous amount, an enormous amount of wealth. Because Vayinatzlu b'Mitzrayim, this Mitzrayim during the time, during the plague of the Cheshech of the darkness, so they went to all of the houses to see what was there. And then they asked all of the people, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded them, because this is what he promised Abraham, that your nation will be enslaved for 400 years, but then they will go out, Berechus Gadol, with great wealth. So they went and they asked them for jewels and for garments and for gold and silver. So they went out with an enormous amount of wealth, and Pare said, come, let's go and let's take it back and I will split it with you. So the simple meaning of Pare Hikriv, that he brought his soldiers and his armies close. The Medrash tells us another meaning. Mahu pare hikriv elashi hikriv esh Yisrael letshuva sho'osu. Not he brought his soldiers close, but he brought Klal Yisrael close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar Brachio yofe hoyisa hakrovis pare li Yisrael mimei atzumais utfilois. What pare brought Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than 100 fast days in prayers would do. Why? Because shekiven shirot v'achareim v'ro'o ha'ison yishoru mi'ayit v'tol le'ineim l'morim. since he pursued them, and they saw Egypt coming upon them, and they looked up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they did tshuva, and we spalalu, and they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it states, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael HaHashem. Omru Yisrael l'meishe ma'asis alonu. They told Meisha, what did you do to us? You took us out of Egypt, but what did we gain? Now they're coming, and they will do everything to us that we did to them. At that minute, they were standing by the sea, and they didn't know what to do. Hayam soik seger. In front of them was the sea. The seine redef. The enemy was coming from behind them. And on the other sides were the desert with wild animals. And they saw they were mukofim migimul ruches. They were surrounded from three sides in the sea in front of them. So they had no place to go. They could not turn back. They could not go to the right or to the left. And they could not go forward. Tolu einehem laviyim shebishamayim. So they could only look upward. And this they did. V'tzohaku l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They cried out to the Almighty. Through this, they came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than they would normally with 100 fast days or 100 tefillos. This is what is meant to Parei Hikriv. Parei brought close Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do we learn from here? We learn we don't want tzoresh. Nobody wants problems. Nobody wants difficulties. But a person should know that if he does have difficulties, which he should never have, a great avoda, a great growth can come from this. Because through the tzoris that a person has, if utilized properly, he can come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he doesn't have tzoris, when he doesn't have difficulties, then he solves his own problems. There's a way out. If he cannot turn to the right, so he turns to the left. If he cannot turn to the left, he'll go backwards. If he can't go to the backwards, he'll go forwards. He'll solve his own problems. He becomes independent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He becomes very far away from him. But when he has a tzora, and actually the word tzora comes from the word tzar, tzadik resh, which means narrows, straits. It means he's pinned in. He has no way out. Like we say in the Birchas Hamazon, in the Benishin, V'arvach lonu, mikol tzereseinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should give us harvocha. Harvocha means widen out the straits, give us a way out. But when a person doesn't have a way out, he's surrounded from all sides, then he has only one way to turn. And this is with Klal Yisrael. In the back was Egypt. To the sides were the desert, with wild beasts. In front of them was the sea. So where could they turn? Tolo einehem lamalo. They were forced to go upward. Vayitzaku el Hashem. They cried out to Hashem. This is what Soros does. It forces a person that the only way he can turn is upward to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this creates an aliyah. And he's alus. Where he goes up, he becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what is meant. Pare he kriv. It doesn't say pare came close. He's kariv. It says pare he kriv. He made others come close. He made Klal Yisrael come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. More than 100 fast days or 100 tefillos would have done for Klal Yisrael without this surah. Then the Midrash continues. V'lomo osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehem kach. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take them out of Egypt. And he made so many wonderful miracles. So what did he need this for? He should have freed them. They would have gone out of Egypt and finished. Why did he have to harden Paro's heart? We see that he was behind all of this. He hardened Paro's heart in order that His heart turned in order that he should go pursue Klal Yisrael. And then they'll come to the sea. And then they'll be pinned in. Why did he do this? He did it for this reason itself. He could have destroyed Parai simply in Egypt, in the Makas Bechedis, by smiting the firstborn. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't satisfied. He wanted to bring Klal Yisrael yet to greater heights. And this is the reason why he did it. The Medrash says, Lomo osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehem kach, ele shayo HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave letfilosan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this because he wanted to hear their tefillos. He wanted their prayers. He wanted that bond that's between the one who prays and the one that he's being misfollowed to. Moshe Lamala Davadema. So the Medrash gives an example. The Melech Shoya Boba Derech. There was a king who was walking on the road. And there was a daughter of a king. A princess, cried out to the king, please save me from these bandits. Shoma Melech Vitzila. So the king was very gallant, and he went and he saved the young princess. Lach yomim bikesh lisa esa leisha. He fell in love with the princess, and as time went on, he decided that he would like to take her for a wife. Hoy misavish shetadaber imay velahisereitza. So he wanted to go speak to her, and she didn't want to speak to him. She wasn't interested. She was independent. So ma osa hamelech. So what did the king do? Giro ba'alistim kidei shetitzeik v'yishma hamelech. He went and he summoned a few bandits. He told them that when the princess is walking on the road, so you go and act as if you're going to hold her up. This they did, and again she cried out, v'yishma hamelech. So Omalo Amelech, when she cried out, the king came and he said, he says, this is what I was waiting for, to hear your voice again, that you will call out to me. Kach Yisrael, kishoye b'mitzrayim v'yom eshabdim b'hem ischilu tzoakim v'teili neinim l'akorish borchu. So was it that when Klal Yisrael was in Egypt, they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out with a strong hand and a mighty arm, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu again wanted to hear their cries. He wanted to hear that they should need him again. So what did he do? He sent Pare after them. As it states, Upare hikriv. Miyad vayitzaku Yisrael el Hashem. So they cried out again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Beis Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lekach hoyisi mevakesh lishmea kolchem. That I was waiting to hear your voice. So from here we learn that not only that if, when a person has tzoros, he can come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than he can without the tzora, but we hear from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the tzoros to the person in order that he should come close to him. Just like the king. What did he bring this tzora, this problem, to the princess for? Because through this the princess would come close to him. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So does the Almighty. He brings tzoros to Klal Yisrael in order they shouldn't drift away. Because in a tzora they'll need him. And this is what is meant, Shemisbave Misave Litfilosin Shel Yisrael. That he desires the prayers of Klal Yisrael, therefore he brings tzoros to them. In one of the psukim that we read, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it it states Vayar Yisrael Esiyar Agdeilo Asher Oso Hashem Mitzrayim. Israel saw the strong hand which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in Egypt. That means that they saw the Exodus, and they saw the Makis Becheiris, the smiting of the firstborn, and they saw the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Vayiru Omes Hashem, and they feared Hashem. Vayaminu Bashem of Amesha Avdei, and they believed in Hashem and Meshe his servant. Oz Yoshir Meshe v'nei Yisrael Zashir Azeis L'Hashem. And then Meshe and the children of Israel sang this song to Hashem. So from this we can learn that when they saw the great miracles of Hashem, this brought them to Vayaminu Bashem of Meshe Avdei, to Emuna, to believing in Hashem and his servant. And this Emuna then brought them to Shira, Oz Yoshir Meshe v'nei Yisrael Zashir Azeis, brought them to song. See, this is what we see from these psukim. That first they saw the mighty miracles. By seeing the mighty miracles, they came to fear and to believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through this, they came further to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the level of Shira. Now the Medrash tells us this is a Medrash in Perek Chof Beis. Chof Beis Gimel. Shonu Rabbi Seino, a rabbi taught, HaKedesh Shema Tzorech Lahazkir Kriyas Yamsuf Umakis Becherim Be'emes V'yatziv and Yetzias Mitzrayim in Krishma. When we daven in the morning, first we say Krishma. We say the Shema. In the Shema, we mention the Yetzias Mitzrayim. As it states, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Li'os Lachem Le'Elokim. I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Egypt in order to be your God. Then after the Krishma, we have another brocha, which is called Emes V'Yatziv. Now this goes all the way right to the Shemein Esrei. And this brocha is referred to either as Birchas HaGeula, because it ends with the brocha, Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has redeemed us. We bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu has redeemed us. Well, it's also referred to as the Amunah, Birchas Amunah, because we speak about believing and have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this brocha, Emes V'Yatziv, there we say, Kol Becheireyam Horokto, that you have killed all of the firstborns, U'Becheircha Go'olto, and you have redeemed our firstborn. You have redeemed your firstborn. V'yam suf bokato. And you split the Red Sea. V'zedim tibato. And you took the arrogant Egyptians and sunk them into the Red Sea. V'yedidim avato. And your beloved ones you took through the Red Sea. V'yachasu maim tzoreyam echod mehem le'nesor. And you covered your enemies with water and not one remained. So the Medrash tells us, first we must mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. Then, in the next bracha, we must mention about the smiting of the firstborn, the splitting of the Red Sea, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Goal Yisrael, he has redeemed us. Why? Because we see this is what took place. See, first, they witnessed the Exodus, then they witnessed the splitting of the sea, and it states that when they saw the great miracles by Aminu Bashem, they came to the level of Amunah. So therefore, when we daven and we speak of the Amunah, which is Emes V'Yatziv, we say that how true HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, after we recite about the Exodus, then we recite about the smiting of the firstborn and the splitting of the Red Sea. And this is also true in Maariv. In the Tfilas Maariv, again, we lay in the Krishma, and we speak of the going out of Egypt. Then it states Emes Ve'amuna, that's the brocha of Emes Ve'amuna, where we speak of our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here again, we make mention Malchus Choro Uvanecho Bekea Yom Lifnei Meshe. We speak of the smiting of the firstborn, and our HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us through the Red Sea. And then, Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has redeemed us. Then the Medrash tells us, after they saw the Exodus and the Yod Chazoka, the strong arm, and then it states by Aminu Bashem, they came to believe in Hashem. What happened after that? Through this chus that they came to the level of Amuna, Zochalei Meshira, they came to a new level, to the level of being able to sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'shor Sahaleim Shechina, and then the Shechina came upon them. Shira, a person can sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only if the Shechina is with him. When they came to the level of song, the Shechina dwelled with them. Because it's written afterwards, Oz Yoshir Mesha, Ubnei Yisrael, then Mesha and the children of Israel sang out. Therefore, we learn another halacha from here. L'kach tzorech odem lismei gula letfila. Kishem shehem yismichu shira achre amuna v'akriya. Therefore, a person, when he davened Shmeine Esrei, and Shmeine Esrei, the Medrash says that's the level of Shira, because when we davened Shmeine Esrei, we begin with the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we end with the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shira. So that must come immediately after what we just said. It must not come before, and it must not be interrupted in the middle. Just like first it says Vayar, they saw B'nei Yisrael Seyora Chazoka, they saw the mighty miracles, and then it states Vayaminu Ba'Hashem, they came to a second level of Amuna, and then it states that they came Oz Yoshir, they came to a third level of Shira. So must our order follow in this pattern. First we must say Krishma and the Maskir in Yetzias Mitzrayim, speak of the Exodus, and then we must speak of the Yad HaChazoka, the strong arm, in relation to the smiting of the firstborn and the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And this is in the Brocha Emes BeYatziv or Emes BeAmuna, and that's called Geula because it ends with Goal Yisrael. And then immediately afterwards we must sing Shiro. And that's Shemein Esrei. And this is halacha. This is halacha in regards to Tfilah Shachris. If a person comes into the Beis HaMedrash or he comes to Shul in the morning, and he sees that the Tzibur is already starting to daven Shemein Esrei. And there's a great halacha of Tfilah B'Tzibur that one should always try to daven Shemein Esrei together with a minion of people. So therefore one would think that immediately he should daven Shemein Esrei. The halacha is no. He must not. Because he must be Seimech Gu'ula Letfilo. He must daven Shemein Esrei only after he has said the Birchas HaGu'ula, after he has spoken of the redemption of Egypt. So therefore, he's going to have to say Krishma first. He's going to have to say Krishma. He's going to have to say Birchas HaKrishma, the brachas which precede Krishma. And then he's going to have to say Emes V'Yatziv, which speak of the Gu'ula of the redemption. And then he can come to Shemein Esrei. This is the halacha by Shachris. And then the Medrash goes further. Ukeshem shehein tiar libam veomru shira shehein chsi vayiro ha'omes Hashem vayaminu va'achakach oz yosher. And just as Yisrael, when they went out of Egypt, they did not just come and sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but first they purified themselves. Because when they were in Egypt, they were under the influence of tremendous amounts of tumah, of impurities, when they went out of Egypt. So it states that they saw the miracles. By Yeru, they feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Aminu, they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was a process of tahara, of purification. Only after that does it state Oz Yoshir that they sang. So this means that a person can come to Shira only if first he purifies his heart. So the same thing with us. Kach Tzorach Odom L'Tahir Libay Kedem Shispalo. When a person daven Shmein Esrei, he must not just walk up and daven Shmein Esrei, because Shmein Esrei is when we sing out the praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. Mashivoruach Meirid Hagoshem, Ato Gibor, Mechayim Esim. We sing out all of the praises of the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person cannot just walk up and start davening Shmein Esrei, because that's Shira. When a person just doesn't just walk to the level of Shira, of song, that comes only after Taharas Halev, purification of the heart. So therefore we also, before, we must purify our heart. And that's what the Gemara says, Hasidim HaRishayim, that the early righteous people, see, that lived in the time of the Mishnah, or before the Mishnah, HaYashayim Kedem HaTfila Shoachas, that before they would prepare themselves for a full hour before davening Shmein Esrei, with Taharas Halev, purification of one's heart. So this is what we learn from this pasuk. Very important. It states, "Bayar Yisrael esayor agdela." The Klal Yisrael first saw. They saw the strong hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did they see? They saw the Exodus, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. They saw the Makas Becheres, the smiting of the firstborn, and then finally they saw the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. So the first level was is what they saw. Then, vayiru omes Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem. Then they came to the level of yiru and emuna. They feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in Mesha. That was the next level they came to. And then it states, oz yoshir Mesha uvene Yisrael as hashirazes. Only then were they able to come to the level to sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Medrash learns from here that Shira can come only after we see miracles, after we fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and after we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we can come to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cannot come to sing without all of this before. Even though there's plenty of times when people are always singing, that's not the level of Shira. The level of Shira is what comes after the seeing the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the fearing and the believing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we come to Shira. So the Medrash tells us that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the great sages that organized for us our tefillahs, organized it in this manner. That when we daven every day, so first we recite about the Exodus, and then that's in Krishma, and then in Emes V'Yatzi or in Emes and Emuna, and that's called Birchas HaGu'ula, we speak of the final redemption, the smiting of the firstborn, which was the final plague in Egypt, and the splitting of the sea, Hayom Bokato. And then through this, and then this brings a person to Emuna. Then immediately after, we say mech tfila legula. We come to the Shmein Esrei, which is the Shira. That there should be no interruption between the Shira and the redemption. And this also brings another halacha, that under no circumstances are we allowed to interrupt between the Birchas HaGula and the Shmein Esrei, in order that they should follow one after the other. This is what the Medrash learns from here. From here we see that the level of Shira is not such a simple level. It comes after the Riyas Hanisim, after they had witnessed the great miracles, and after they feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and after they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they came to the level of Shira. Let's see if there's a few things we can understand about this. 2 points, there are many, but 2 points in particular are mentioned by the Chazal in regards to this Shira, in regards to this song. One is in a Medrash Perechov Gimel Os Dalet. No, excuse me. Before we come to these 2 points, just to illustrate how great of a level this Shira was, the Medrash tells us in Chof Gimel Eish Dalet, Pia Poscho V'Chochma V'Seiras Chesed Alishayna. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and the Torah of loving kindness was on her tongue. This is a posuk in Eishes Chayil, which is Mishle Lamed Aleph, written by Shlomo HaMelech. What does this refer to? So the Medrash says this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu when he's saying out the Shira. V'yem Shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Ilam. From the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, V'atshom Di Yisrael Alayam, until the time Klal Yisrael stood by the sea, Le'imotzino Odom Shom HaShira LaKadosh Baruch Hu El Yisrael. We do not find anyone to sing a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look through the Torah, we do not find any song in the Torah until this place. Bora Adam HaRishon V'Le'om Rishira. He created the first man, yet the first man did not sing a song to him. Hitzel Avraham Mikiv Shonei Eishu Min HaMalochim V'Le'om Rishira. He saved Avraham from the kings, from the fires, and he didn't sing a song to him. V'chein Yitzchok min ha-macheles v'le'yom ha-shira. He saved Yitzchok from the knife which he was about to be sacrificed with, and still he did not sing a song to him. V'chein Yaakov min ha-malach u min ha-esav u'mi'an shishchem. He saved Yaakov from the angel when he fought with the angel, and he saved him when he fought with Esav, and he saved him when he fought with the people of Shechem, and still he did not sing a song to him. Kiven shobo Yisrael liyam v'nikra liyam. But when Klal Yisrael came to the sea and the sea was split, miyad omru shira lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they immediately sang a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it states, Os Yoshir Meishu v'nei Yisrael, have you pia poska b'chochma. This is what is meant, that pia poska b'chochma v'sei reskeshet al sheina, that her mouth opened with wisdom, and the Torah of loving kindness was on her tongue. This refers to Moshe Rabbeinu when he sang this song. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'elu ha'yisi metzapeh. This is what I was waiting for. So this further illustrates what tremendous level this was when they came to this Shira. Now, as we mentioned, there are 2 points of interest, particular interest, that the Chazal mention in regards to the Shira. One is that they dwell on the word Oz. It states, Oz Yoshir Meisha Es HaShira Hazes. Oz means then. The Midrash tells us, this Medrash that I just quoted, Ein Oz Ela Simcha. The word Oz refers to Simcha. As it states, Oz Yemolei Schek Pino. Then our mouth shall become full with joy, with laughter. Another Medrash tells us, and the word Oz Dover Acher, Oz is spelled with an Aleph and a Zayin. Aleph Echod Zayin Shiva. The Aleph refers to one, the Zayin refers to seven. Hare Shmeina. This makes eight. B'schus ha-mila shenitl ha-shmeina nikra ayam. This oath teaches us that in the schus of the bris mila, which was given on the eighth day, the sea was split. Omer Reb Levi, legezer yam suv legzorim, shechein b'loshen arami keirin lemalim gzurim. The Reb Levi said another proof to this is it states legezer yam suv legzorim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut up the sea into pieces. And in the language of Arami, a mehel is called a gezerim. And from here we see that b'schus ha-mila, through the schus of the bismila, the sea was split. Then the Medrash goes further. So Medrash, Yalkut Shmeini, Parsha Shmeis, the Maral brings it in Perek Mem Zayin of Gvuras Hashem. Rabbonin Amri, Kol Pakamachi Shel Meishel Lohoyisa Ela Ba'oz. We see that all of the business that Meishel dealt with was usually, all of the important business was usually with the word Oz. Hatzolus nafshoi b'oz. When it came to saving his life, it was saved with the word oz. Vayiref mimeno oz omro chasan domim lamulos. When Meisha was traveling with his wife Tzipora from Midian to Egypt, so he was attacked by a serpent. When they came to the inn, he was attacked by a serpent. Tzipora saved him. And then she said, Oz omru chasan domim lamelish. She said a praise, and she used the word oz. So we see that when it came to saving Mesha's life, the word oz was used. Kanturai bi oz. When he came to complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that also was with Oz. Umi Oz Bosi al Parai. He said to Hashem that from the time I came to Parai, things have not gotten better, but they've gotten worse. So he complained with the word Oz. Shirosai bi Oz. When he came to sing the song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was with the word Oz. Hafroshes Orim bi Oz. When he came to separate the cities of refuge, later on, before his death, it states Oz Yavdil Meisha Shlesha Orim, that Meisha then set aside three cities of refuge. So we see Kol Pakamacho, that many of the important businesses that Meisha attended to was with the word Oz. Then the Medrash tells us further. Mishosh Shomru Yisrael Oz Yoshir, when Klal Yisrael came to the sea and they said, Oz Yoshir, Lovash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Cholok Shel Tiferes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on a garment of beauty. Sheyechakukim Alov Kol Oz Shebeteira. And on this garment was engraved all of the Ozes, every sentence in the Torah that began with this word. And many are quoted, Oz Tismach Besula B'mochel, that then the young maidens will go out and dance and they'll be happy. Oz Yudaber Yeshua, then Yeshua will speak, and so forth and so forth. Kiven Shechotu, but once they sinned by the golden calf, Choza Vekoru, Kodesh Baruch Hu took the garment and he tore it. V'osid HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lahachsirei, but HaKodesh Baruch Hu will once again renew the garment. As it states, Oz Yemole Shchet Pino. Then, in time to come, our mouths will become full with laughter. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Klal Yisrael sang Oz Yoshir Meisha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on a garment which had engraved in it every sentence in the Torah, or the Nevi'im or the Ksubim, that began with Oz. Once they sinned at the golden calf, he took the garment and he tore it. But he will renew the garment in the days of the Mashiach, or in the world to come, as it states, Oz Yemole Ischeik Pino. Then our mouths will become filled with laughter. That's in regards to the word Oz. So we see that the Chazal were very concerned with this word that Meisha began with Oz Yoshir Meisha. A second Nekuda, a second point, which the Chazal observe, and that is Meisha used a future tense, not a present tense, when he sang the song. It states, Oz Yoshir Meisha. The Chazal say, Shor Elei Ne'amar, does not say that he sang Ele Yoshir, that he will sing. What does that mean? Should say, Oz Shor Meisha, then Meisha sang the song. Instead it states, Oz Yoshir, then he will sing. So Rashi answers in accordance to the simple meaning of the sense. He says, this is what it means. Oz kishara neis, ola belibo ishi yosha shiraza. That when Meisha saw the miracle, then he decided to sing. And therefore he went and sang. That's why it states, Oz yosha, then he sang. Then Oz yosha, then he will sing. When he saw the miracle, and when Israel saw the miracle, they decided to sing. And therefore he sang. That's the simple meaning. But then Rashi brings a drosha. Rashi brings it only partially. And the drosha is that the deeper meaning is Shor le'nemar ele yosher. Does not say that he sang, but it says he will sing mikan. From here we learn that tkiyas ha'meisim min ha'Torah. From here we have a source in the Torah that there will be a tchias hamesim. There will be a resurrection of the dead. Because it doesn't say that then Meisha sang, but it says then Meisha will sing. One day he will sing. And it's referring to a day which is not here, to the tchias hamesim, to the resurrection of the dead. So that's a second observation that the Chazal make, besides that he began with the word Oz, that he used a future tense instead of a present tense. And this refers to Atchiyas HaMeisim. Now what does all of this mean? Some very deep principles. There's another medrash in the Mechilta, in Bishalach, Perek Vov, that the medrash tells us this word Oz. What kind of word is it? Yesh oz l'sho'avar, v'yesh oz l'osilovei. Sometimes the word oz means in the past tense, then refers to the past tense. And sometimes the word oz refers to a future tense, then will take place. Not then took place, but then will take place. And the Medrash brings many examples. Oz huchal likrei b'shem Hashem. Then they started to call out to the Shem Hashem. Oz omru chasan domim lamules. Then she said that you wanted to kill my husband. Or you wanted to circumcise my husband. Oz Yoshir Meisha. Then Meisha sang. Oz Yoshir Yisrael. Then Yisrael sang. Oz Yedabi Yeshua. Then Yeshua spoke. Oz Omar David. Oz Omar Shlema. Then David spoke. Then Shlema spoke. Kare Eilu Lo'ovar. This all refers to past tense. Then in the past. V'yesh Oz Losid. But we see in the Torah also that Oz is a future tense. Oz tiri v'naharto, then you will see and I will make light for you. This refers to the future. Oz yiboka kishachar erecho, then the dawn will split and make light for you. Oz yidale ka'ayol, then it shall skip like an ayol, like a deer. Oz tismach besula b'mochay, then in the future the maidens will go and dance. Oz yemolish chayk pinu, then in the future our mouths will fill with laughter. Oz yomru vagoyim higdel Hashem lasisim elu imela, then in the future all of the nations will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done greatness with us, has done greatness with them. This refers to the future. So we see yesh oz l'sho'avar. Sometimes oz can refer to a past tense, and sometimes oz can refer to a future tense. The Maralin writes in his Gvuras Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu and the splitting of the Red Sea and the level of Shira and the word Oz all have one thing in common. And what is that? They are all separated. Ugdolim, umufroshim, separated, umushukhrorim. They are freed from their restrictions. For example, the level of Meshur Rabbeinu, this we know. Chazal tell us that Meshur was not like no other human being. He was above the level of a human being. He did things that no one else could do. When it came to going up on Har Sinai, he went there for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem le'ochalti mayim le'shisisi. He didn't eat bread and he didn't drink water. He saw that the angels didn't eat, so he didn't eat. This is impossible for a human being. So we see that Moshe was a bit higher than that of a human being. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu peh el peh, mouth to mouth, ponim el ponim, face to face, which no other human being could do. He prophesied, states by all of the Nevi'im, prophesied, they prophesied not through a clear vision, through an unclear vision. It was a dream, like a dream is. See, it was a thought, it was a vision. But Moshe Paklalia de Meira, when Moshe prophesied, it was clear. The whole Torah is his prophecy. It was concise and clear. And this designates that he was not limited, he was not restricted by the limitations of a physical person, but he was able to rise above physical limitations. This is the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, this was the same. The splitting of the sea was the greatest upheaval of natural forces. The whole Exodus was greater, but upheaval of natural forces, this was the splitting of the sea. Why? Because first of all of the miracles that happened in Egypt, this was all in a degree of a prat, of a minute act. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he might have smitten the dust or the river. This was limited to a certain article, to a certain individual force, and to a certain individual place. It only happened in Egypt. The firstborns only affected the Egyptians. But what he did on the sea, this was not limited. This was an entirety. The Haggadah tells us, it makes all kind of calculations, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in Egypt, but he did 5 times that amount, or 10 times that amount, on the sea. States what he did, Etzbalakim, what he did in Egypt was with the finger, but what he did on the sea was the Yad HaChazok, the entire hand. The finger is just limited to an individual detail. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, firstly, a sea, in the opinion of Chazal, represents the entirety of water. Because in many places it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was he was Bore es HaShomayim, es HaOretz, es HaYom, es Kol Asher Bo. He created the heavens, he created the earth, he created the sea and everything that's in it. The sea is always designated individually, given its own individual importance. And then it doesn't say that he created the seas, Yamin. It says he created the sea. And the Chazal tell us that there's basically one sea. The same thing in the creation of the world. Also, that he created one sea. This, the Chazal tell us why sometimes is referred to as Yamim, as many seas. That's only because that fish in one ocean does not taste like fish in another ocean. It's a different type of species. But the sea is one creation. All the seas, as Hashamayim, as Oretz, as Hayam, is one creation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they are all one way or another, and the opinions of Chazal joined together. This was one creation. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea, this was not splitting or smiting something which was just a detail of the creation, but rather a whole creation. And this is known as the Sheirish of Mayim. This is the source of water. The sea is the source of water in the world. And when the Almighty created the world, he used four elements. He used the earth, and he used the water, and he used fire, and he used air. So by smiting the sea, which is the source of all water, he performed the miracle which affected the entire element of one of the four elements of the world. And from here we can understand a little better what the Chazal tell us. It states, Vayiboku ha-mayim, we read. So the Chazal say, Mayim yam le'ne'amar, el-mayim. Doesn't say the sea split, the Red Sea split. It says the water split. Mikan kol mayim sheba'ilam. All of the waters in the world split at that time. At that time, all waters in the world split. Or, like David HaMelech wrote in the Halo, that it states, Hayom rov hayonos, the sea saw Klal Yisrael coming, and it retreated. Hayarden, Yisrael lo'ochor, and the river, the Jordan River, turned back. So the Chazal say, what's the Jordan River have to do with it? We were standing here by the Red Sea. Why did the Jordan River turn back? Elakim and Shalokso Givirto, since the master, the mistress, was smitten, so all of the maidservants also were smitten. The sea is the master of all water. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the miracle in the sea, Hayam Leinemer Al Amayim, all of the waters in the world were affected. So therefore the greatest upheaval of natural forces took place here at Kriyas Yamsuf. And therefore, this was the greatest height of becoming freed from the restrictions of the physical world. Because the physical world has its order, it has its physical forces, it has its restrictions. And that's the nature which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to govern the world. And that nature says that water must flow downward, not stand upward. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and turned the sea over, this was a shikhro, this was a geula. This was an uplifting and a freedom from all of the restriction of the natural forces of the world. So that's in regards to the sea, and that's in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu. The word Oz also is similar to this. But I'll ask the kasha, yes, the question. If Oz refers to a specific time, then or now, how can it refer both to something of the past and something of the future? This is totally contradictory. Something of the past is something that happened already. Something of the future is something that's not here yet. If the word Oz refers to a specific time, in the zone of time, so then how can it refer to something of the past and something of the future at the same time? What the Chazal is teaching us is that the word Oz refers to something in time, a block of time, which is not in the zone of time, but which is remote and separate from the zone of time. Oz does not refer to a unit of time in the time zone, because then it would have to be either the past or the present or the future. And you could not have one word which describes two things which are totally contradictory to each other. But Oz refers, therefore, to a unit of time which is not in the time zone. Oz, then, we're not referring to the past, we're not referring to the future, we're referring to then. Something which supersedes time. Something which is beyond time. That's what Oz refers to. And if it does refer to that, then it can be used sometimes for something of the past or something of the future. It's not contradictory, because it's not referring to any specific block of time in the time zone. And that's why the Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, Oz is written with an Aleph and a Zayin. And an Aleph and a Zayin, it's 1 and 7, that totals 8. And what does 8 refer to all the time? 8 refers to something which is beyond this creation. Because this creation is the creation of 7. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days. 6 days of work and Shabbos. This is the creation that we live in. If something is constituted, has a constitution of 8, so then this refers to something which is beyond our world. And time is a product of the physical world, because time is governed by the movement of the sun. When we calculate time, we're calculating the axis of the earth in relation to the sun, or we're calculating the movement of the earth and the sun in regards to the months, the moon, or the days of the year. The sun is all from this creation. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh, there's nothing new beneath the sun. But the Gemara says, but if you'll go above the sun, beyond the sun, there's many things that are new. And this is what the word Oz refers to. So Oz also then refers to something which is free from the restrictions of physical limitation of the Chayma. So we have Mesha, who was the individual that rose higher than any other individual to free himself from physical limitations. Where he was able to go to Har Sinai and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not have to eat or drink. We have the Kriyas Yam Suf, which was the final miracle which completely devastated the physical forces, limitations of the physical world. And we have the word Oz, which is a word which is used for something which is free from physical time. It denotes time, but something which is beyond our time zone. And this is the level of Shira. Because when we stop to think, what does it mean that a person comes to Shira, where the Shechina dwells upon him and he can sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A person is made of two forces. He was made from the dust of the earth, Vayipach Ba'apov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils a living soul. These are the two forces that man is made from. States that after he blew into his nostrils a living soul, then man became a nefesh chayah, which the sages teach us, he became the one who was the speaker, capable of speaking. And from here we learn that the power that man has to verbalize
his thoughts, to express his thoughts with speech. This was the power that came when the soul entered the body. And this is evident. Why? Because if the soul departs, the person is silent. Not only that, where was the physical body made from? States the earth. The earth is the most silent of all creations. Of all of the elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used in the creation of the world, they all have a sound. Water has a sound. The air has a sound. The wind has a sound. Fire has a sound. The earth is silent. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made physical man offer of Bina Adama from the dust of the earth. And all of the others have movement. The earth has no movement. And something which has no movement, there is no sound. So this means that if there's a power of sound from a person, a power of speech from the person, it's not coming from the offer. It's not coming from the physical element of man that came from the earth, that came from the dust. And therefore only after Vayipach Ba'apov, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into this creation of earth a soul, then he became the speaker through the combination of both. And Shira is the highest level of speech. When a person becomes to the level of great joy and he can verbalize his praises in song, this is the highest level of speech and perfection. So this means that he's rising far above the physical restriction of man. His soul is rising beyond the limitations of the physical chemer, of the physical shape of man. And we see this, for example, anything that has to do with death, and death is death of the body, because the body dies, but the soul lives and returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So death is physical death. Anything that has to do with physical death, we find it's always related to silence. For example, it states by Aaron, when Aaron saw that his two sons died, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron was silent. States that a novel, a person who's in mourning, you feed him eggs. Why? Because this is the symbol of someone who does not have a mouth. An egg has no mouth. A mourner also has no mouth. Yeshivadayman, he's silent. Life is just contrary to silence. And death, which is the physical death, the soul has departed, and only is left physical man, this is the essence of silence. And this is what Dovra Melech meant when he said, Lehamesim Yahaleluko. The dead cannot praise you. What does it mean, the dead cannot praise you? We know the dead cannot praise. Praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu must come not from anything that has the essence of death in it. A physical man has the essence of death. Praise must come from the soul, not from the body, because the body comes from the dust, the earth, and the dust of the earth has no sound. Praise must come from the soul, and the soul must rise beyond the body. And this is what David HaMelech wrote in Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. Ma betza bedomi beriditi al shachas. What will you gain from my blood if I go down into the nothingness, into destruction? Hayeit cho ofor. Does dust know you? Hayagir amitecho. Can dust call out to your righteousness, to your truth? Leman yizamecho choveid v'leidei. He asked for life in order that I might sing out your honor and not be silent. So from here, what do we learn? That if a person wants to come to the level of shiro, to the level of song, then he cannot sink into the physical world, because the physical world is going in the opposite direction towards the level of silence. But rather he must raise himself up above the physical restrictions and reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he'll find the level of song, the level of Shira. Lehamesim Yahaleluko. The dead cannot praise. It's the live ones that can praise. And what gives life is the nefesh, the soul which he gave the person. So Shira also is this level. Therefore, when Klal Yisrael came to the sea and they saw the mighty miracles, the Yad HaZoko, the total miracles, and they feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they purified their hearts, just as they saw that the world was uplifted to become free from its physical restrictions through this total miracle, so did they uplift themselves to free themselves from the physical restrictions, and they came to the level of Shira. And this was led by Moshe Rabbeinu, who came to higher levels than any other man in this respect. And therefore he chose the word Oz. Then we will sing, because Oz is a word which is not restricted to this world, to the time zone of this world, but something which is separated, something which is beyond. And therefore the Medrash says Oz is eight, and eight is Bris Milah. Bris Milah is not a product of the creation. Bris Milah is a product of mitzvahs, because the way a person is born, he's born without the Bris Milah. That's a product of mitzvahs Hashem, of something which is higher than the nature of the world. And then the Chazal said, why did Moshe refer to Oz Yoshir? He should have said Oz Shor, then Moshe sang. Why did he say Oz Yoshir, then he will sing? Mikan l'tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah. Because if it's a true song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then this comes, as we mentioned, from the aspect of the nefesh, the aspect of the soul, and the aspect of the soul freeing itself from the body. This is the contrary to death. If a person cannot free himself from the human body, then there can be no tchias ha-meisim, because the body, the human body, dies, and that's the end of it. Everlasting life is only by the soul, not by the body. If the soul is forever imprisoned in the body, then there can be no tchias ha-meisim. There can be no living again. Once a person dies and he returns to the dust, that's the end. But if we see that a person can rise above the restrictions of the body and free himself from the body, the Geula, redeem himself, and sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so this is a sign that the soul can free itself from the body. And even though the body will die and turn into dust, the soul will still live. And therefore when Moshe sang out, he wanted to sing that this was not a song of the physical elements of man alone. This was a song of the spiritual elements of man rising above the physical restrictions. And therefore he used a loshen osi, a future tense, Oz Yoshir, that this song will not only now, but it will be even then. And then the Chazal say, Mikan tchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah. From here we learn that man will live on forever. That element in him will never die, because it can rise above the restrictions of the physical body. These are some of the great points that we can learn from this level of Shira, which Klal Yisrael came to when they came to the sea. And we should be zeicher to Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu made miracles for us when we came out of Egypt, and we came to such levels that once again we should see such miracles and again enjoy such levels.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.